off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins.
Haskins sprinting out, sets up deep. Over the middle. Touchdown, Buckeyes.
Fields has time. Watches downfield. It's Olave. He's got a touchdown, Ohio State.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the QB Draw. Ohio State won a top 10 matchup this week, and that is not the biggest story of this podcast. Somehow, some way, we're going to talk about the game first, because that is ultimately what this show is all about, is football. And then we're going to get into the juicy details of the criminal operation of Jim Harbaugh and his flunkies at the University of Michigan. Who are frauds, cheaters, liars, all of that.
Bitches, tricks, all of it. Yep.
Yep. Jack, John, how you doing?
I'm good. Man. Yeah. I just want to start off with a quick question here. So I'm looking at the official statistics posted of the game, and it says the attendance was listed at 105,506 people in the stands.
That's weird.
I have reason to believe that two people weren't there.
Yeah. You know, I think I might have peered. I was behind the Ohio State sideline. It did look like someone, there was an empty seat, which was kind of weird for a game like that. So
it was looking light, you're saying?
There might have been
two people light. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Wonder what happened there.
Yeah. Who's to say? Anyways, for those that don't know, I was at the game. It was awesome. The shoe sometimes gets a rep of being a paper tiger in terms of home field advantage, and that reputation has been earned at times because the crowd can be a little sleepy, be it because of high expectations of Ohio State, mostly probably because boomers and companies hold a lot of tickets. But anyways, it was rocking. There was none of that on Saturday. It feels like two lifetimes ago at this point, honestly, with all that's come out over the past few days. But it was awesome. The offense, obviously, clunky. McCord continues to stink on ice in the first half and then just become competent in the second half, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But being there, watching the defense just stifle Penn State completely, especially in the second half, it was a sight to see. I didn't even realize how bad Penn State was on third down, because, you know, it's third down, everyone's up in their seats screaming their heads off. It's like, and it worked every time, you know. It's like, and then yeah. you get to the end of the game, and it's like, hey, every time we got up, all 15 times except for like garbage time, we got up and screamed our heads off. It's like they didn't convert. It was kind of nuts.
You could feel it too, like on TV. Like, you could feel that there was an actual environment there. I think, you know, again, like, this is a different team than what we've had in the past, and probably a little bit less polished than we've had in terms of, like, from a quarterback
from quarterbacking perspective, mostly bad. But
on the good side, though, like, it feels like a regular college team again, right? And it feels like you're gonna have those moments where a guy goes 22 of 35 and misses some throws, but like, damn, you get some crazy, crazy moments in that. 162 yards from Marv with 70 from Stover.
And it could have been a lot more if he doesn't drop a couple at the start and if McCord hits him a couple more times when he was open.
That's as good of a Marv game as we've like seen. Like,
again, since
last year against Penn State,
it was like the same exact thing. Yeah.
Even a little bit different, because like, I felt like Marv got into out into space a little bit more.
He was last year, it was a bunch of contested catches. This year, he was kind of just getting himself wide open,
which
he still made a couple contested catches.
Oh, for sure. Which, for sure.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I want to say like, as much as I want the offense to be better, and it does have to be clear, for Ohio State to do what it needs to do, it has been a long time since we just stifled a team like that, and damn, it felt good. Like, it was cathartic to just sit on a team, and like the two Notre Dame wins, it wasn't exactly like that. I know they were low scoring, but Notre Dame broke some plays and had some long drives where Ohio State couldn't get off the field. Saturday was nothing like that. Penn State couldn't do anything.
One of my biggest takeaways was that Penn State receiving core
stinks.
Like they couldn't get space anywhere. And like, I'm not trying to read too much into Ohio State's defensive backs, which like we've talked about are much improved, but man, they couldn't
without
find
Denzel
space.
Burke, by the way, Jermaine Matthews is going to be an All-American like at some point in his tenure at Ohio State. I'm very confident in that.
And to give Drew Aller 42 pass attempts too, just felt like, I mean, again,
and they were
like
running okay in the first, like they broke some chunk plays. Now it started to get more clamped down later on, but to just completely go away from that when they had nothing in the pass game, clearly I thought was a little bit odd.
Can I share something? I have a bit of, I don't want to say sports autism, but I tracked,
we all do, so it's okay.
I tracked every single rush Penn State had. I'll read them off to you. This includes sacks. So we've got 6, 3, 20, 16, negative 3, 6, 2, 2, 2, 2, 5, negative 1, 8, 2, 3, negative 3, negative 3, 5, 3, negative 2, negative 8, 3, 3, 3, negative 15, negative 10.
That's insane.
For 1.9 yards a carry.
So after the first couple of drives, not really any rushes that got them anywhere down the field. Again, like kind of the pivotal moment, I think, of the game, I would say, is it's 10-6. Ohio State has the turnover on the goal line, forces a punt. Fleming fumbles, and then 4 days later, Penn State has to punt again. Like, can you imagine that happening?
Well, my brother and I, like, we were so pissed when that happens, like, obviously, because it's, like, the dumbest mistake you can make in football. And it was a bad bounce, but is at, like, after the sort of initial sort of, like, pissiness and dismay of it wore off, we were just like, all right, defense got to go do it again. And sure enough, like, they did it. Like without breaking a sweat. It was unbelievable.
And that's where the scars start to show too, is like, you know, like we, if that shit happened last year, we'd like 2 years ago specifically, like we would have been like basically in
game
tears
over.
Thinking
game
about
over.
Like that. We got one stop and now we have to go get a second. Like,
yeah.
This defense.
Yeah. Like
just
Ohio State has operated like on a territory the past couple of years where they basically have to score every possession, or it feels like they need to score every possession. And if you get one stop, like you have to win the game on that stop. And that obviously was just not the case on Saturday, because they got every stop they needed and then some. That garbage time touchdown was just totally fake. The game, Ryan Day should have just like tried to run out the clock more there instead of kicking a field goal. Because after the 4th-and-30 stop, like the defense really shouldn't have come back on the field, but that's kind of neither here nor there. So yeah, JT.
I have one quick note before you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about him being a second half player, which is true. And I know in spite of everything that's going on, Michigan's been a second half team these past couple of years. It's not like he turns into prime Patrick Mahomes. Like, he still misses open throws, but for whatever reason, it's like his nerves are calmed. Like I said, he's not CJ Stroud in the second half. Like, there were a couple of pretty easy misses, but I think it's just like nerves. It's got to be a nerves thing, right? Like, you watch the first half, I can think of, I think it was our first field goal. He had a couple of plays, like the 15. He threw a contested ball to, I think, Fleming, then one to Tate. And, you know, he didn't see Marv running wide open on that mesh route right underneath. But in the second half, I think, whether it was the play calling, just putting him in better positions or whatever, I think he's just, you know, take halftime to take a deep breath. And as much as I love how well he plays in second halves, just got to pick it up in the first half. Because,
yeah,
you know, if we do play Michigan, can't afford to do that.
Yeah, if they're not banned from football forever, we'll get into that in a minute. Yeah, dude, JT, like, obviously everyone says it every time they talk about him. He's not the pure pass rusher that Chase Young, the Boses are, or maybe even some others you can bring up. But like,
not even Sam
Hubbard. He is a dominant player in that he just kind of does everything. He's very instinctual. He's very twitchy. It's not like he doesn't get pressure against the passer. He obviously had, I think, 2 sacks in this game. And just he does things that usually you don't expect out of defensive ends. Like, he is so much more than just a pure pass rush guy. And I'm not saying you don't want a pure pass rush guy, because you need those guys. But he is so much more versatile in that he's going to blow up a screen that's sent his way. You know, he's going to stuff the rush. He's just going to make things happen. He's going to bat down passes. Like, he's just going to do things that usually aren't in the job description of defensive ends. And he's just a really fun player in that sense. You know, that's not me saying, like, we shouldn't have concerns about the pass rushers over the last few years, because those concerns are still there. But JT specifically, any talk of him being a bust or disappointing is dead. Like, he's that guy. He's who he was meant to be coming out of high school, where, by the way, he was listed as a DT. So it's not like he was exactly supposed to be Von Miller coming out of high school. Like, he is the player I think anyone could have wanted him to be. So I think that's something to hang your hat on. And then, yeah, the defense as a whole, I mean, just what else is there to say? When they get Denzel Burke back, watch out.
Did they have any dumb penalties outside of, like, that Tommy encroachment on, you know, second and 12 or whatever?
That one stunk, but no, I don't think so.
Like, no bad pass interferences. Yeah, Iggy was – he's still physical, but, you know,
he was disciplined. Yeah, he was disciplined. Yeah, and then as for the offense, I don't know. I figure it out, I guess. A lot can change in half a season, so
– we've got 18,
I think getting Igbuka back eventually will really help.
That'll be massive. That'll be massive. Because as much as I like Xavier Johnson, he is not fucking Emeka Igbuka.
He's a gadget man. Like, three or four touches a half maybe, but he's not a number two wide receiver.
Yeah, and then I honestly, this is not like Ryan and others have said this. I honestly, even the Riles guys might be saying it. It seems like the pretty like consensus sort of ask of the intelligentsia right now. But like, I would just play Hayden and Trey at running back, and then use Chip essentially in that Mitch Rossi role, and that's who I'd roll with. And you could expand the Mitch Rossi role for Chip, because he's obviously capable of more than just that. But like, that sort of like H back, offset tight end, fullback type of role. I think he could. He had a nice catch and run early in the game.
Yeah,
I think.
No, he's been good catching the ball. Like,
I
think
he's
that's the thing.
He is not a bell cow back, despite his stature. He's just not like good enough for it. But he can be used in different ways that I think make him a really useful player. So we'll see if that happens. You know, obviously they have some attachment for Mayan, and I feel bad for the guy, because it's like, I don't think he just stinks. I think there's just something weird going on with him this year. That's kind of where I'm at with the running back room. The offensive line, I know I've been taking up a lot of oxygen. I'll pass to you guys in a sec. But the offensive line was not good, but it was not a disaster. It was not 2016 Penn State or 2016 Clemson. It was okay enough. And you know, I don't know if they play like that against Michigan, who I don't think has the pass rushers that Penn State does, it should be fine if they execute in other areas. It's not ideal. It's bad that, you know, a San Diego State transfer who's like a true sophomore who wasn't very good at San Diego State is in position to be our left tackle. It's never what you want. I'm not saying that it's an ideal situation at all, but it should be tenable, I think. I think it's kind of fine.
I think you hit on the important part, which is that I think that's one of the best pass rushes that you're going to face all year into probably the playoffs. Like, I think that's as good of a defense as you can realistically expect to face up front. I did like the wrinkle towards the goal line of Caden Curry in the backfield. Like, I
thought it was kind of just random bullshit, but he's actually pretty good at it. So like, as long as it's not taking away from his reps on the D line, which I still think he needs to get more of, I'm okay with that. Cause it seems like he actually kind of knows what he's doing.
I mean, he laid the big block on the first touchdown. Yeah,
he's a football player. To use one of my favorite announcer cliches, he's a football player.
He is truly a football player, that's for sure. So yeah, so I guess best two-way player in the country, I'd say.
He has as much or more two-way utility than Jabril Peppers has. I'll put it like that.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter can't rush the passer. He can't block in goal line set. So
I don't think Travis Hunter can block as all.
He's not blocking at all.
He's lighter than I am.
Be a psyop. Travis Hunter doesn't exist.
He's not real.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, like what was like you said the vibe in the stadium was really good.
It was great. Sorry, what was your question?
I was just going to say, like, any big highlights, any big moments that, like, really kind of captured you?
I saw a fight. A Penn State fan took an OSU fan's seat, like, in my row. OSU fan just punched her in the mouth. Security kicked out the Penn State fan. So we love a home field advantage.
Woo! Oh, yeah. No, there was that trademark Buckeye fan nervousness. I'm not going to deny that. Like, there was still that anxiety that we are well known for and for good reason. But vibe was great. It was rocking early. I'm trying to think highlights. When JT got the sack after the muffed punt, it was crazy. It went wild. When early on when the fumble got returned for the touchdown on the scoop and score, and then someone next to me said there's a flag, like the entire stadium had the air sucked out of it. Someone next to me said, oh, there's a flag. And then you could start to feel the buzz start to pile back up. Like we're like, okay, it's probably gonna be defensive, like, all right. And then the refs were taking forever to make the call, even once we were kind of sure it was gonna be a defensive penalty. So people started like booing, and then they finally made the call and everyone went crazy. So that was cool. Also, like, clearly a penalty clearly affected the play. I don't really have any sort of shame in that one.
That was kind of the moment that stuck out to me, is that like the game was very much in the balance at that point.
Yeah, because I still think Ohio State wins, but it wouldn't have been easy, because it's not like we were prolific scoring.
No, because especially if you're theoretically at that point you're down 10, you're down 10-3, right? And that's not a good, again, you end up scoring 20 points. Maybe you could have eked out more points, but like that was a scary moment. But like you said, like, you were feeling the buzz in the stadium. I was at home. I was not feeling any buzz. I'm seeing this flag and I'm like, oh Christ, it's going to be holding on Simmons again or something like that. And you're like, what the fuck? But
I don't know how he knew. There might have been like a replay or whatever that showed it, but everyone kind of got, no, you know what it was? The ref made, like they sometimes do, he made a very subtle, like where they point that the direction that the flag is on, he made that tiny, like where he's just doing it to the other refs, and like everyone saw that, and it was like that. Yeah, so because it was, he was pointing it that it would be on the defense and so on Penn State, and so everyone's like, okay, we're good.
I do want to talk about one other little tidbit from the game. Jesse Mirko had a 72-yard punt.
Yeah, the Penn State punt returner sure had like a Parker Fleming, Parker Fleming coached guy moment where he just kind of let it roll for no reason. But it was a great punt.
And it rolled.
It did roll because he was like basically on his own goal line. Like if he moves back like another half inch, it's a safety. So really like great punt there by Jesse. He's been up and down. I think he's not quite Cam Johnston, but he's pretty good. I continue to be a little bit worried about Jaden Fielding. Ohio State never really,
I agree.
We seem to always have these like accurate short range guys that have no power, which is why I knew the game was over against UGA last year before that kick even went up. But it was a fun, like I've been fairly optimistic about that win. despite sort of the concerns with the offense. And that's counter to some of the vibe online. And I don't know if it's just because I was there and it was so much fun. Like, it was on, like, I've been in the shoe, I think, 7 or 8 times in my life. And I've been there for some big games. Like, that was probably the best vibe I've ever had at that place. Just everyone going crazy, like, everyone, like, losing their voice. It was really like a rally behind the team moment. I feel like, you know, with the Michigan thing just sort of like starting to percolate with CJ there, it kind of felt like okay, the last 2 years sucked, but hey, we're not dead. We're still here. It kind of felt like a rally around the flag moment for the program. And I don't know if I'm putting too much stock into that. Right. I don't know if I'm putting too much stock into it based off just vibes, but that's
you know what? I was gonna say something. It just feels like this year, if we might be back, right? Like, the last 2 years have been kicks in the mouth, right? I think, and then the probably 7 or so years before that, we were just kind of spoiled brats, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was just like there was no joy in beating a Penn State, right? It's finally getting to the point where it's like we kind of can see ourselves being sort of an underdog again, right? And mm-hmm. And not in any betting or gambling sense, but like in a, yeah, like we
also
should.
Also, we're kind of a laughing stock, like right now, you know, like I hate to say it, but like since the past 2 Michigan games and what happened against UGA, then we're just kind of a punching bag right now for other, obviously Michigan and then just nationally. So it did feel like, hey, you know what? Like, fuck you. We're still Ohio State, like that type of game. And it was just a great time.
Yeah. All in all, good game. So let's get on to the main topic of the night.
The important stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The, sort of what's it called? Sign gate. We need a new term than gate. This is like,
yeah, no, we're not calling it gate. We're just going to call it what it is.
Cause this is not like a scandal. This is like a criminal enterprise. This is like,
yeah,
like I said in our group chat, like, I think, and I don't know if I'm being hyperbolic, but I feel like this could be like the worst scandal in, like, in terms of on the field play in sports since the Black Sox, like way back. Yes. In
especially, like, if gambling's involved. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like this feels like, and like, you know, it's big because, you know, when I logged on today after the also, we're not really going to do an introduction, you guys all know what the fuck we're talking about, like we're just going to get into the nitty-gritty, like you guys know what's up. Yeah, like when you logged on today and you see like national accounts, like both like reporters and just commentators, like guys like College Football Nerds who like are unbiased, I'll give them that, like they're not, but are like generally SEC guys. They don't like have a, they're not like slanted towards Ohio State in any way. In fact, they both picked Penn State to win the game on Saturday. So, but that's neither, the point is like people who are kind of either have nothing to do with Ohio State or at least have no like affection for Ohio State are sort of like talking about this like it's a big deal. And I think that's kind of what proves it's a big deal is when the national discourse is like, holy shit, like something has to be done. And those people have nothing to gain from anything being done. It's just like, oh shit, this is bad.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it seems like with every day that goes on, there's more information that keeps coming out that makes it seem
every couple
worse.
Hours, honestly, it's like, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah. Like, and again, like we all have our Michigan fan friends online, and you know, they're all very vocal about how they feel about this kind of stuff. But like, even with them, you're starting to see kind of the, oh boy,
like, there's worry. They're the only people who are like burying their head in the sand are like James T. Yoder, who are basically troll accounts. Like, those are basically the only people you see like saying this is a nothing burger anymore. Like any, yes, Michigan fan who posts online with a modicum of seriousness is like, there's a serious chance this is bad, like real bad.
Yeah.
So yeah. I tweeted this, like, it really is great. Like, the past 2 years of Michigan football have been the greatest in modern history of their program, which is very funny that that is true, and they don't have a national championship or even a championship appearance. Like, this taints it forever. Like, and it seems like it's going to be tainted even more, given that more, like, there is a drip feed of info coming out, culminating right now in that, like, Stallions was had purchased tickets for not just Big Ten games, but like Oregon, Washington, Georgia, Clemson, Bama, Tennessee. I don't know if I'm missing any, but like, and there was one picture, who knows if it's real or not, of like the guy like in the stands at Oregon taping the game, and someone had thought it was odd behavior. But like, they were great seats, and the price for this type of operation would have been far more than one guy on a 55K salary could front. Like, this was an organizational
program. Well, and again, like, it would be pretty sad, honestly sad, if this guy was going to the lengths that he allegedly went to and they were just ignoring him, right? Like, if he's spending his money for, you know, again, like this super special mission, and they won't even pay attention to him. But again, like, that kind of stuff gets, I don't want to say thrown out, but like, when there's footage of him at the biggest games in the ear of both the offensive and defensive coordinators.
Yeah, like, that's not a nobody. Like, be serious. Like, I'm not saying he, like, there were some people arguing, like, oh, he's a low-level staffer, he's not allowed to be. That's not, like, he's allowed to be there. Like some Michigan side guy said, like, oh, he's allowed to be there. Yeah, he's allowed to be there, sure. But, like, it's not about whether he's allowed or not. It's about, like, what that means. Like,
yeah.
Like, what that implies he's been up to. Which, clearly, like anyone claiming, like, I'm sure Harbaugh will try to say that he knew nothing about this. First of all, that's ridiculous on its face. Like these guys, it's like when Urban, like, did the whole, like, I didn't know anything about Zach Smith thing. Like, these guys know everything that happens in their program. They're all psychotic freaks. They're all control freaks, which is what they have to be to do the jobs like this. But even if somehow, by some miracle of modern circumstance, he did not know what was going on, then it's still, first of all, the NCAA says it doesn't matter, but it's still, like, it's a gross neglect of responsibility if, like, he didn't know that his staffer was, like, elaborately cheating.
That the video footage that we saw today, if you are Jim Harbaugh and you don't know what the hell is going on, why is my low-level analyst
with Sharon Moore? Like,
I would fire that guy, right? Yeah. Like, if you went to work, right, and you just hung out in the CEO's office, your boss is probably gonna fire you because something bad is going on there, right? Like, you're not up to something good, right? Like, and again, if he allegedly didn't know any of this, and all of a sudden, like, how does he not know, right? Because he's got hands on the offense, he's got hands in on the defense. Like, how does he not know the audibling system, right? Like, he doesn't know that we've got this guy here who magically knows things happen. It's a really weak story. And again, like, those are the stories that come out. They try and say, oh, I didn't know. Into question the character of the people that it's like, well, you know, there's innocence and there's incompetence, right? And you know, in the eyes of the law, which, again, this isn't a law situation, right? Like, it's football,
It's like, when cancel culture guys talk about, like, oh, guilty until proven innocence. Like, this isn't a court. Like, this is public opinion. Like, this isn't a court. This is fucking college football. Like,
and we could be wrong too, but like, I don't think that, you know, somebody on fucking Twitter was saying that, oh, this is going to lead to a years long court battle. Well, I don't think so. You know, only court battle I could see is like, well, did Reggie Bush get his Heisman's back? Did Ohio State get their wins? Did, like, you know, postseason bans, you know, did they? Like, I feel like they come down, if they come down, they come down fast. Like, it's on Michigan then to, like, okay, do something about it, right? Like, and maybe, you know, again, if they go the full length and Harbaugh is gone and the whole staff leaves, maybe they can address it in a few years. But like, I don't know, like it's the whole thing is just really gross what it is.
Yeah.
I've got an update from the group chat. It's a message board.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
It's from Irish Sports Daily. Now, keep in mind, folks, for those listening, we don't know how much of this can be true, how much of it has been corroborated, it can be proved, whatever. The point is, he was buying all these tickets at all these games, and then it has since come out that it wasn't just Big Ten teams, you know, Washington, Oregon, Clemson. This is from a Notre Dame message board that said, a coworker of a general question regarding opponent scouting. A coworker of mine is going to Rutgers MSU this weekend. He said his buddy got tickets to the game through Michigan because they pay him to film opponent's signs and signals. Fuck Michigan aside, is this a standard practice? I assume it's legal because it's a game and not a practice walkthrough scenario. Like Spygate, and anyone could go.
Also, keep in mind, first of all, Spygate was not about practices. That was redacted. I don't know why everyone still thinks that. But by the way, this is not someone like trolling, getting in on the action. This post was from October 12th when no one knew anything about this. So like, obviously it's the internet. You got to take things with a grain of salt, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, yeah, it wasn't like this was trying to get attention off a story that was already out there. This was just, sounds like it was just a guy like curious, you know? And we've seen a couple put, like there was a post like that on the Oregon board. So yeah, it just seems like there's some serious. It seems serious, is what I'm trying to say. This does not feel like a nothing burger. It didn't feel like a nothing burger the second that Thamel posted the story based off the gravitas he presented it with. Like, national reporters, say what you will about them, they don't publish a story like that and hype it up if it's not real. This was not a message board grievance. This is a national story now, and Michigan's gonna have to deal with
Pete Thamel not getting paid on clicks.
Right. Yeah. Like, be serious. Yeah. This is not the fucking like.
This is about clicks. It's not
like he is at least he has at least a six figure salary. He is not getting like impressions. He doesn't need like fucking Elon bucks off Twitter money. Can you just be real? Anyways,
on top of that, it's not going to be a culmination of the biggest reporters in the sport coming together, right? Like, it's not just this one guy that's going rogue. You know, he's on his own saying, oh, well, Michigan did this. No, like, you're hearing some of the biggest names in the sport tweeting about this, you know, putting out stories on it. It's not just tweets. It's actual stories. And right now, I think they're doing as much as they can do. And I think it's, you know, whether it's Ohio State fans or Michigan fans or whoever, everybody's just waiting, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I would say,
like you said, wish casting, but we know what we know right now. So
I give, you know, any smidgen of like praise or, you know, make Kirby Smart sound like a funny guy. But they asked him about, you know, hey, you guys played Michigan. Did you guys think? He was like, I saw nothing in that game that indicated that they knew what was going on. So
no,
like,
they got killed.
Again, there is that side of it where it's like, and if again, like as the stories are being reported, it seemed like our boy didn't scout TCU.
No,
it sounds like he, which is, of course, is very funny.
Which he should have been fired for, right? Like, if you're, you know, if you're gonna do it. Buddy, you
get everyone. Right. Because if you're banking on that and then you don't have it for the playoff game, it's like also like
that should be the what he gets fired for. Not
cheating enough.
Well, and you mentioned Kirby saying that about Georgia, and obviously they lost to TCU, but you know, there was a clip that I saw on Twitter today of James Franklin saying, oh, you know, well, it feels like we called a really good game and they had something to counter whatever we were doing. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, you can get away with that a couple of times. Like maybe they just by chance, you know, called the perfect defense, but he's like, you know, fourth and one heavy formation. they're going to cover two because we're going to take a shot. Why aren't they, you know, putting eight guys' hands in the dirt, you know, maybe even no safety? So I think as much of a whiny bitch as he is, I think it's very clear that this isn't just an Ohio State thing. This is a Big Ten thing. Even Matt Rhule had something to say. So
also the people who thought Matt Rhule was saying it was nothing just either didn't watch the clip or are stupid, because he was like, everyone, like, Michigan fans are still arguing about whether or not stealing signs in general is illegal. Everyone knows it's fine. Everyone knows that everyone does it. That's not what the fucking argument. Exactly. Exactly.
It's the Astros thing. You can steal signs in baseball. We did it in high school. We just didn't use a fucking camera in center field.
Yeah, exactly. That is literally, it is all about the process. And any Michigan fan screaming about, oh, everyone steals signs. Yeah, we know.
Absolutely.
We know.
Right, right.
But yeah,
it's willful ignorance for a group of people who claim to be so smart. Now, you know, half of them didn't go to the school and the other half are self-pretentious, you know, up their own ass, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's another gripe for another day.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point that Rhule made that I think is fairly the most interesting point is like, yeah, I mean, they probably should go to radios in the helmets. Now that gets weird because, again, if what's being alleged is going on, like, you know, what's it, that, again, people for years had quote issues with their radio headsets when they played at Gillette Stadium and at other places, right? Like,
well, we talk about the big thing that is like
it also puts you know, the bye games, right? Like, is an FCS school going to be able to, like, you know, put all that stuff in to, you know, if they're going to be playing at, you know, let's say they're playing a bye game at Ohio State, like, do we have to bring our radio helmets to this game, right? Maybe that's something that they look at down the road. And I know people past, for years, I remember Mark Whipple at Pitt had Kenny Pickett running to and from the sidelines to run in plays, and like he wore a wearable for a few games, and like his heart rate was crazy high. He logged like something like 2.3 miles in running during a game. I do think that there's a point to that said, like, that ain't what Matt Rhule was saying, right? Like, when he clearly drew a line in the sand and said, well, if you're filming games and practices, you are clearly in the wrong here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how much more I have to add about it right now, other than stay tuned. And they're cheaters. They cheated. Like this operation allegedly started in 2021. When did Michigan become actually good? 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
leave it at that, huh?
Like, I don't, you know, yeah. Correlation, causation, who knows? But at this moment in time, like, it looks bad for him. That's all there is to say. It looks bad for him. We are loving every second of it. Also, indeed. It'd be really right fucking funny. Fall, yeah. It'd also be really fucking funny if the wins got vacated.
You would not hear the end of it from me, I promise you.
Also, because we're down two wins on the official count because of 2010 and 2020, so we do need those two gone to even the scales.
All is right.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything left? I know I talked a lot this episode, but had some thoughts.
No, I think I think this is going to be an ongoing story, so we'll probably address this more as time goes on, but
hopefully there's another episode soon, because we hear some things.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, go Bucks.
Yeah, go Bucks. Fuck Michigan.
See you, folks.